News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're going to start this hour, as we quite often do with El Paso History Moment. Guess who it was written by?
No idea.
And produced by?
Me.
And all that kind of good stuff.
And help from Bernie and some other people
Melissa,
that send me notes. So.
Well, we've been doing this for a long darn time. I remember when I cooked this up and you said you'll do it, we went back and did it. You know, I cooked this up with the salespeople here at 690. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to sell it. If you sell it, let me know.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
We can do that.
I've got some people that I'm talking to.
But this is for the El Paso History Alliance that you do this. Mm-hmm. And your history moment today is about the red flaggers in the Mexican Revolution.
General Pascual Orozco's red flaggers defeat at Juarez. Disenchanted with the slow progress of Madero's revolution, General Orozco, supported by wealthy Chihuahuan aristocrats, leads his troops who carry red flags and are known as colorados or red flaggers on to capture Juarez. A renewed smuggling of guns and ammunition from the U.S. to Mexico increased the threat of the Mexican Revolution spilling over into El Paso and soon had local, state, and federal officials at odds with one another. El Paso Mayor Kelly, in an angry letter to President Taft, attributed the deplorable state of affairs in El Paso to the continued anarchy in Juarez. Kelly felt that federal officials spent too much time trying to avoid irritating the Mexicans rather than protecting American lives and property. Kelly did not call for the U.S. to maintain order in Juarez, but concluded in his letter with, "I intend to protect life and property in El Paso." Mayor Kelly's words brought more troops to El Paso and helped bring about the arms embargo of 1912. The embargo was a major reason Orozco was finally defeated by President Huerta. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Why do I think of flag football and these guys are running around, you pull the flag and they fall down?
Yeah, not that kind of flag.
That's not what happened.
They didn't play tag football.
Oh,
well,
no.
They were playing tag, but not in a
they
good way.
They were shooting at each other.
Yeah. Tag, catch my bullet.
So why did they want to be identified so much? They just want to have their troops know who they were?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. It's just the psychology of red beating blood. It's like, we're serious. We're going to get your blood.
Oh, good
so,
God. So
I mean, that's the psychology behind war. There's so many different stories and such. It's crazy.
That's a History Alliance thing. Call Bernie, right?
Well, yeah. The El Paso History Alliance is a great group of people, and they have their Facebook page, which has over 50,000 followers, and Bernie's part of that group with information. And he's also a historic consultant, and you could give him a call at 915-581-7920 if you have some history, want to know some history. Just give him a call.
We got him coming in a couple of
weeks. He's going to be in here talking about History A to Z. And you can also, you know, we want to mention Barbara Given-Bainey and her
BGB.
Crew at El Paso. Remember in El Paso when
I call her BGB.
BGB. And you can go there for archived pictures galore, and they have over 33,000 members. There's probably a million by now.
That's great stuff.
But please remember their administration's worked hard in researching and in their photos. Give them a little credit if you share their stories.
And also they have moderator Craig Hayes, BGB herself, owner, BGB. Administrator, Ken Weiss, Paul Louis, and Bernie Sargent. He's got nothing else to do, he's now doing that too. Oh, my God. All right. Adair Margos on the line here, First Lady of El Paso. And we've got Mario Sanchez, an historian, but he's not. He says he's not. He is.
He's an armchair historian.
Socorro
like
Deanda, president of Lydia. It's all about Lydia Patterson Institute. And Adair, you cooked up a really good picture there with Gaspar Enriquez, a portrait of Lydia herself.
Right. Well, the entire book, it is a picture book. In fact, it's based on, it took me a while to figure out how to tell this wonderful story where there was so little known about a lot of the characters. And I ended up using Tom Lee's 12 Travelers format. So every chapter has a portrait of the person who tells the story from their, that's why it's called Voices of La Lydia. It starts with Laura Bush, in fact, because it was through her visit for the 85th anniversary of Lydia Patterson Institute. Was that in 1997, Socorro?
Yes, uh-huh.
1997, that it starts with her. That's how I got involved with the school. I served on the planning committee for
that. Is that a picture of her, or is that a drawing from Gaspar?
Gaspar, we got photographs. I found photographs of each of the characters. Millard Patterson, it took me over a year. He was on the board of TCU. He was with Texas Christian, you know, the Christian church. But he took those portraits and then did his wonderful, illustrated each of those portraits. He painted them and his technique, his airbrush layered
Laura Bush
so
really
they're
look,
just awesome
Laura looks
Chicano
really
portraits of everyone, beginning with Laura Bush and John Wesley.
She looks like a portrait of herself. I mean, she looks like a portrait of herself. That's a great picture.
And you talked about, do kids have difficulty going to school? Well, she came with the president and Colin Powell and a whole lineup of people back in right after 9/11, right after he was elected president. And in her comments, she reiterates what her husband said when he was here, and Lydia Patterson students were up on the stage with him out at the NASA hangar at the El Paso International Airport, saying how important it was for those students to be able to get to school on time.
Interesting stuff. And also, the book is for sale. Yes.
It is for sale. It's through all the proceeds of the book go to Lydia Patterson.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a beautiful hardback book, as I say, with deckled beautiful paper, beautiful portraits by Gaspar Enriquez. The hardback sells for $60. Then we have Christina Wu, who is sort of a historian there at the school. She did a listing of all of its graduates from 1935 on, and even names of people who enrolled for English classes. And so we published all those in a second volume that costs $20. And then we've created a beautiful boxed edition that's signed by everybody. It includes a print by Jose Cisneros that he did at the school. He wasn't a graduate, but he attended school through eighth grade at Lydia Patterson. And those sell for $5,000.
Wow.
Most of them are tax, you know, it's tax deductible.
It's for the school.
And they're available on the Lydia Patterson website. And I know Literarity has copies as well.
We have a comment on our email from Sammy. He says, awesome show. LPI has always been a fixture in El Paso. It could be considered another mission in El Paso, albeit not Catholic. And he's got a lot of stuff. We get a lot of input now from people looking at us. And if we do have one phone line ready to go, 544-KTSM, if you want to comment on Lydia Patterson. Or maybe if you were a graduate
and
you
want to
say
story.
Something. We had somebody during the week on Facebook say there was a huge rivalry between the football teams of Lydia Patterson and Cathedral. Is that something you had, Mario? Is that something in your history?
Well, actually, I think sometimes we had a football, but most frequently it was a basketball rival.
Oh, it was a basketball.
There you go.
It had to have been basketball.
Okay, that's what it was then.
Yes.
Because they said
it had to have been basketball, and we've had a very strong sports program. But we've always been very strong in soccer.
Okay. And do you have a field down there? Because talk about the building, because you originally had a Trost building, and that became too small for what you were doing, so you took that down and expanded it. What is the campus like down there, Socorro?
Well, it's interesting that you're asking that right now, because I just mentioned to you that we've always had a very strong soccer program, and we've won several state championships. But the irony of the thing, Jackson, is that we don't have a soccer field.
What do you play?
We practice in the public parks, and we borrow fields from the other schools.
Okay.
What we're doing right now at this, as we're talking right now, we're working on a practice field on our campus, and that would be ready for when the students come back in October, if we bring them back in October.
Right.
We're working on that. But the school did go, of course, you know, like I said earlier, went from being a boarding school to being a day school. which meant that, you know, the dormitories were done away with. And so we've had our campus right now. We've got, of course, you know, we have, it's a two-story building. And just 5 years ago, we ran a campaign to renovate the buildings, and we've done that. We've renovated the classrooms, and at that time, we brought in the latest state-of-the-art technology into the classroom. We brought in the smart boards, and we no longer have textbooks. Everything is on the students' tablets, and so that in itself made it very, very easy when we had to close school in March and go to distance learning.
So you're ready.
We did that from one day to the next without any problems.
But you can't.
We were already prepared to do something like that.
But you can't play soccer on your laptop.
But we cannot play soccer
yes,
on our
you
laptop.
Can.
You're absolutely right.
You can get a video game and play soccer.
No, you get one kick and the thing is dead. Okay, we got stirred
you
up
know,
a
One of the problems that we've had, you know, we're kind of landlocked where we are.
Okay.
We did have some. Property that was donated around the school building. We bought some other property. So we have expanded some, but it's been very difficult because it's if for some unknown reason, people in South El Paso do not like to sell their property.
Well, not only that, but you will take a donation of cash and or property from anybody, right?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. What's your phone number? If somebody wants to get a hold of you directly, what is your phone number?
My phone number is 915-588-6172.
588-6172 to get in touch with Lydia Patterson Institute. Well, we had somebody call 544-KTSM to talk to you guys. Her name is Mary Jo. Good morning, Mary Jo. Melby.
Good morning, Jackson.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to tell you the story of my grandfather, H.T. Ponsford, when he was asked to build the building by Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson called him on the phone and said that he was going to be away for the summer, but that the Trosts were designing the building, and when the building was ready, to go ahead and build it, and to go ahead and build the building, and to go to his Mr. Patterson's account at the State National Bank and borrow the money as needed. And that, to me, is so interesting, the way business was done in those days.
Probably a handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Withdraw the money, right, Mary Jo? Just withdraw it. Just take as much as you need.
Yes. Withdraw the money as needed, and that is the way business was done. He was going to be gone for the summer, but to go ahead and build it, even though Mr. Patterson had not seen the plans yet. But, of course, it was Trost.
So your family built a Trost design originally?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Did your family build a lot of Trost buildings, or did Trost sometimes build their own buildings?
A lot of Trost buildings, a lot of the Trost buildings.
Oh, interesting. A lot of his. We got to get you on the show here. Talk about here one day. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a thought. We haven't covered that side of it.
I would love to see you all again.
We'd love to have you.
We'll see you on the phone. You know how that works.
It's a good show, you all.
Thank you. We can see you at Pepe's. I think I'll make it to Pepe's today. But we do. I see you out there occasionally. That's just an aside.
See you at Pepe's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jackson.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you mind if I just add something while Mary Jo's on?
Sure.
One thing that when people filed through the school for the first time in January 1914, they said every corner was filled with light, that there wasn't a dark corner anywhere. Even the basement had these windows where you got light in the basement.
Oh, cool.
So it was beautifully designed and I think very, very well built by Ponsford and Brothers.
So there you go, Mary Jo. Build us another one, why don't you? No, don't do that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mary Jo. We'll talk to you again. See you at
Pepe's. Talk to y'all later.
Thank you. See you at Pepe's. Cool. And so we have another line open there, 544-KTSM. We've got this subject on our brain here of the Lydia Patterson Institute, The Voices of La Lydia. It is the book that Dare wrote. And there's another subtitle to that? I don't have it up in front of me.
The History of Lydia Patterson Institute.
Okay. And then that is available. Where can they buy the book?
You can buy it online through the school. They've got it posted on their website.
Okay.
And Literarity also has copies. The bookstore up in Pepper Tree Square. Bill
Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also,
Bill Clark.
You can also call the school. You can also call the school at 915-533-8286 if you wish to buy a book. We do have them at the school, and so you're welcome to call anytime and purchase your book or order your book.
And if you sell enough of them.
You can order it, and we can mail it to you as well.
If you sell enough of them, you'll get a soccer field.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Good luck with that.
Well, and I'm posting on the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page also, so we have a link to it. You can go right there and get the information. And you can actually see the book. It's a beautiful book. I really love how it's laid out. Very simplistic, you know, not gaudy. It's just done really well.
The 12 Travelers Division kind of thing. Cool. Hey, we're going to take another break here. We got this subject on our hands here. And we'll take a call or a Facebook event, right?
Yeah, Facebook. You can make a comment to us there. Says I get to my comment.
Or an email, ephistory690.
Yes.
gmail.com.
That one I can't get to.
We shall be back in a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
Hi. This is Paige Renee, and I have a podcast called Playing Around. I give you a raw, unfiltered look behind the scenes of not only the golf world, but share some hilarious personal stories. We cover everything from sports all the way to dating advice. Nothing is off limits, and we never stay in bounds. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to Playing Around on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I used to think that Medicare was one big complex mystery. What's covered? What's not? Then I made one phone call to UnitedHealthcare and got the answers I needed. In one call, I learned I could combine my Medicare coverage into a single plan for little or no extra money. With the AARP Medicare Advantage Plan from UnitedHealthcare, I get more coverage than original Medicare. My prescription drugs are included, plus other great benefits like dental and 24/7 virtual doctor visits with zero copays. Plus, it's the only plan with the AARP name. So if you're turning 65 or have questions about the mysteries of Medicare, make that one call to UnitedHealthcare at 1-855-283-2895. That's 1-855-283-2895. Or go to GetUHCMedicareToday.com.
Paid actor portrayal. Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. United Healthcare Insurance Company pays royalty fees to AARP for the use of its intellectual property. AARP and its affiliates are not insurers. AARP does not employ or endorse agents, producers, or brokers.
Big news! David Horowitz's new book, Blitz, just hit 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Already a number one Amazon bestseller, Blitz predicted the big protests against Trump. Now, Blitz says Trump has a secret plan. Mike Huckabee says if everyone read Blitz, Trump would win in a landslide. Get Blitz at bookstores or see the free offer and save $28. Just go online to blitz411.com or call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. And get Blitz today.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia. A full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, is this thing on? It sure is.
Is it on?
Hey, can you imagine we're talking on the radio? Here's the deal. Next week, coming in here on August 22nd, the question is, what was the Pueblo Revolt?
I don't know. What was it?
It was one of the largest events ever in the region about history of El Paso and New Mexico. August 1680, August 10th to be exact, sunrise to be exact, all northern New Mexico Native Americans turned on their Spanish conquerors, killed many of them. The battle raged for days, then the Spanish managed to get out of there, and they ran down the Camino Real to El Paso. They kind of like became unparanoid somewhere around Socorro. They figured they weren't being chased that much anymore, but they weren't sure. So they came down here and ended up in El Paso, where they had a bigger stronghold and sort of a garrison, I think. But Texas and New Mexico historian Troy Ainsworth will be on next week to guide us through this major event in our regional history, and including how the Spanish went back to northern New Mexico and regained their territory. They tried it once by force.
Yeah.
The second time, they tried it nicely.
Yeah.
And that's why the Indians have casinos. That's Jake another
matter. Chickens, yes.
Well, anyway, August 2-9, Bernie Sargent back with more A to Z El Paso history. We're going to review the history of Labor Day in El Paso. Would Bernie know about that?
Yes, he does.
Yes,
he labors all the time.
He does. He does. I'm making a joke. But he calls himself Mr. BS.
And we've been going back and forth on some of that. He's doing a lot of good research.
Oh, yeah, I know you guys collaborate a lot. You what, do you live with the guy?
No, he says something, and I'll go look it up.
Oh, I see.
And I'll go, look what I found, and then he'll look at it.
Can you research this? Or you're the researcher?
No, he doesn't ask me to. I just do it.
You just do it. Okay. September 5, historians Al Borrego, Martha Vera, talking about the San Elizario Lecture Series and the San Elizario Festival and Conference. They're going to put it on in some fashion, apparently, in September. September 12th, architect William Bilhelm. He describes the renovation of the Plaza Hotel in downtown El Paso, and he was instrumental in keeping much of the iconic historical items in the renovated hotel. So we got a lot of history coming up. And again, if you have something you know about Cleophas Correos, contact us here or go to my email, which is ep.history690@gmail.com. We need to talk to you because he was incredibly instrumental in a big chunk of El Paso history in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So that's what we got there. All right. What's going on? What do you got? You got something to read over there?
Well, I wanted to talk about, you know, we're about history and everything. And the McGoffin Home State Historic Site is open to be visited. And so they have tours by reservation from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday.
Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday. Please call 915-533-5147 to reserve a spot. And, you know, you can go to their Facebook page as well as their webpage. You can check it out. But, you know, let's support our local history that is open and it's something to do.
We did have a caller off air ask for Socorro De Anda's phone number. You gave us the school at 533-8286, correct?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Okay, you had another number you threw out there for you. You want to do that again?
915-588-6172.
Is that your cell or something?
That's my cell, yes.
588-6172 for Socorro. Okay. A lot going on here, but Adair, I've been thumbing through your book. I have it on PDF here up on the computer. We got a guy. Let me see if I can get this right. Full name, Germán Genaro Cipriano Gómez Valdez de Castillo, otherwise known as...
Tintan.
What did
much
he,
easier.
What was his history in the entertainment world? What did he do?
Well, I mean, he was a very famous actor and comic who really made Spanglish funny. And, you know, they brought it to the attention of the world. There's a Tintan Museum that's part of my Juarez tours. It's, you know, that has all these movie posters of his and... but very, very well known, and he's not registered. It's one thing I learned about Lydia Patterson, but it's anecdotal that he went to Lydia Patterson. It makes sense that he would have gone there to learn English. So this whole idea of merging of cultures, using a little bit of English, a little bit of Spanish, by living on the bridge, as Mario said. He really epitomizes that
in what he did. He also served as, you know, he was the voice of Baloo the Bear in the Jungle Book.
Oh, okay.
And he was in two Disney films as a voice.
Okay.
So a very, very beloved Mexican entertainer who, if you go to the Mission in Juarez in the plaza in front, there's Tintan where you can have your picture taken with him.
You wrote this in first.
And he grew up in Juarez, but was born in Mexico City.
Socorro, go ahead.
Yeah, if I might add also, there you mentioned Tintan was the brother of Eloco Valdez. And
yeah.
A lot of people know about Eloco Valdez. And I happened to kind of verify the fact that he had been at Lydia Patterson because I met with Eloco Valdez several years ago. He was in Juarez, and I was able to meet with him. And he told me the story that he also wanted to come to Lydia Patterson, but they could only afford to pay for one of them. So that's why Tintan came and the local artist did not.
Well, in this book, you've got these people talking in the first person, and his title is The Entertainer Tintan. And it says in the middle of this thing is, we're talking about Spanglish. I made it famous bringing pachucos in their fedoras and oversized zoot suits to the attention of the world. That's an interesting history right there.
Yes.
That is Tintan.
Well, who are some of the other? We got other people, too. There were some others that have gone on to, like, I think a state. It was Supreme Court or somebody was.
State Department. Yeah. Freddy Araujo, whom I met through Socorro, and I think he's in El Paso right now, but he shined shoes in Juarez. And Socorro knows his whole story, but he's with the State Department. He's traveled all over the world.
And you mentioned some of these engineers already. There's the attorney, Carmen Pettis, the business professional, Patricia Pettis, and the athlete, Manuel Reynoso. What did he do? I haven't read all that yet.
I met him at the school, and he was a umpire for a lot of very, very famous games.
The basketball world, it says here. And
right.
A lot of interesting people. And it's really great to go look at these portraits that Gaspar Enriquez redid, obviously, from pictures. But look at the one of Jose Cisneros. Man,
right.
He looks like he's about 25, 30 years old in that picture. Great stuff there.
And many of these I had to base on history, and
sure.
I developed their own voice. There are things that they would have known, though, like an early principal would have. She lived there. I looked at old census and who lived at the school, and she lived there at the same time that these revolutionary general sons lived there. So she talks about them
in later years
in her words. But Jose's are directly his words because I also did his oral history.
Oh yeah, you did a lot of that kind of stuff. Oh, you have the teacher in here, Patricia Romero Amador. And, let's just ask Mario Sanchez, what of all this stuff impresses you the most? I mean, there's great pictures in here, interesting, your story's in here. What do you think of this whole thing? Did we lose you? Mario,
well,
go ahead.
The first thing is that it rescues, you know, how interesting is border life, you know, and there's, in the border, there's different ways of living your life. You know, you can focus just in your own city, like, you know, there's people that only think about Juarez, as there is people that only think about El Paso. But reality is that there's, you know, other realities. You know, there's people that we work in the binational setting every day. And even now, there's people that work only in a global setting, you know, that are from here administering or leading organizations that are worldwide. And here, this is a school that is teaching and training people that have an open mind and are willing to listen to other people that think differently and that have made the effort to learn a culture, to learn a language. And that's why they are prepared to go out and lead multicultural organizations. And that's what the border is. You know, I think that it is a big waste. Personally, that's what I think. You know, when you don't take advantage of having the best of two worlds together, and that's what I see when I see the voices of La Lidia. You know, I see all these different backgrounds different, you know, ways of life. But at the end, you know, we have been united by a cultural experience and by learning a language and by learning principles and Christian values. And that's why I think that it's a very important book to describe, you know, what the border is. You know, and that's what I see.
Well, obviously, you'd recommend it to anybody, send their kids there, right?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
You would recommend people send their children to that school.
Yes, I did. And you know what? I did not do it. And that's something that I think is a mistake. And, you know, I need to confess it. And my children went to Cathedral. Right? And when you're a parent, you have to hear also the voices of your children. And they won this one. And I really regret it, to tell you the truth. And I'm not talking bad about Cathedral, but I think that one of the things that my kids missed was, you know, this experience of being, you know, of hearing other ways of thinking and learning about love among people that think differently. And that's an experience that I think that I didn't provide them. And I really regret it, but, well, that's just life.
That's the way it goes.
I do recommend for people to take their kids to Lydia Patterson. And now, you know, I think that I can recommend it more because I think I did that mistake.
Interesting history.
And I do recommend Lydia Patterson, and that's why I speak about it now.
Oh, no, that's great. More. We need to take another break here and come back and talk some final thoughts about this. We got about 25 minutes left, so it'll be long final thoughts when we get there. So, have you got more things going on Facebook yet?
Oh, I'm just, I posted the picture of the book with the link and everything to go to directly to the Lydia Patterson Institute where you can buy the book. And it, like I said, it's a gorgeous book, and I can't wait to see it, you know, sometime up close where I can see the pictures and everything.
How many people have we now got looking at this thing? I had 5,782
was the last count.
82, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people looking at our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show on there. Oh, I see you put a picture of it up there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah. So you can see the book. Yes. It looks like a very nice. It's Adair. Is it a coffee table size book or is it a?
Yes, it's a. Okay. It's not. It's not. It's 100 and some odd pages, but it is a coffee table size book with 120 pages.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff here. All right, taking a break and coming back in a minute and tell you we're going to come back and tell you what's in El Paso Inc. How about that?
Oh, well, let's do that.
Do you know?
I should know shortly.
We'll get your piece of paper ready.
I do now.
You ready now?
I'm ready now.
We'll take a break anyway. Back in just a moment.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the news without grinding you down.
There's so many like simultaneous threads of history that I feel like are coming together at once that I'm like, which one am I going to
pick? Yeah, let's live through all the history at once.
It sounds like a TikTok challenge. Live through all the history at once challenge.
Twice a day, they tell you everything you need to know about American culture without crushing your soul. Listen to The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
ALS doesn't stop for COVID-19, and neither should you. Register for the 20th annual New Mexico Walk to Defeat ALS. This year, it'll be a little different. As part of the ALS virtual walk, you can walk, run, skateboard, or bike in or outside for a 5K or 1 mile your way. Take to your local trails or neighborhoods September 27th to walk to unlock ALS. Register at web.alsa.org/New Mexico Walk.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. Or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. An emergency relief grant of up to $3,500 is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
they had snuck in the night and committed these murders. Nobody had a clue about who or a why.
You got 8 people dead, and things like that don't usually happen in a small town. I mean, they don't usually happen anywhere. Somebody was trying to send a message. I don't think there can be any doubt about that.
They couldn't have written a more sinister story than what's playing out in Pike County, Ohio right now.
Find the Piketon Massacre on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, Melissa, don't go anywhere. Guess what? This week only in El Paso Inc.
Among all the school uncertainty and distance learning, how some El Paso parents are forming pandemic pods, hiring tutors, or homeschooling to help keep their kids on track.
Also in the ink, El Paso's Lebanese community is mourning the victims of the Beirut explosion that killed over 170 and left thousands more homeless and injured.
Man. Bummer. Yeah. 5-minute coronavirus stress resets to help you get unstuck from your anxiety.
Also, celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
ABC 7 Extra, from pencils to paper to proper PPE. School supply lists are much different this year, and the stakes much higher for parents. ABC 7 host Saul Sines asked the YWCA CEO, as well as a school official, what agencies are doing to help the students navigate through their school year in the middle of a pandemic.
Watch ABC 7 Extra every Sunday after ABC 7 at 10 with host Saul Sines.
You got to say that right. Saul Sines. Well, he's got a name. That's what he calls himself. All right,
He's probably getting tired of going, Saul.
I just talked to him last night on the phone. He's a nice guy.
He is.
But the whole thing about, and by the way, we thank ABC 7 for helping put Bernie and the El Paso History TV on the air when they did.
Promoting history.
And we do their thing, they do our thing, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Adair, what are your thoughts on what we've been talking about? That's a heck of a book here. That's a heck of a piece of El Paso history that most people don't know. Lydia Patterson Institute. It's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of us don't know. I feel so privileged to have gotten to learn so much. When Socorro said she needed someone to write their history, I volunteered. I'm 8 years late.
I was eight years late
getting it done, but it's been such a privilege to learn so much. And I wanted, you know, like on the back, what I love doing is sharing these stories outside. And if you look at the back of the book, like Dana Joyer, who was chairman of the National Endowment of the Arts, he just said, what did he say about it? It shows El Paso at its finest and vividly demonstrates the positive power of faith in transforming American communities. But then he talks about it being a visionary volume because it presents a glimpse of what, on a local level, American philanthropy and Christian charity can accomplish together. It's like an example for the world occurring here, and so few people know about it. So it puts us in a great position to get up every morning and get going, you know, and sharing the good news. There are lots of wonderful tributes on the back to the work of the school by scholars all over the United States.
Socorro, where exactly is this school?
It's at 517 South Florence. Takes up the block of Florence, 3rd, 4th, and Campbell. It's one block from Paisano and 8 blocks from the U.S.-Mexico border, the downtown bridge.
Well, in the right times, not now maybe, but in the right times, you have students actually walk across to get to school?
Most of the students do walk across. Most of us just walk over the bridge. And, you know, Jackson, this is, and as we were talking, it just reminded me of Fred Hervey, that used to refer to Lydia Patterson as El Paso's hidden treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Because so few people actually knew of the impact that this school has done throughout the years on both sides of the border.
That's
and
true.
It has been a bridge, you know, between the two cities and the two countries and the two cultures. And the, you know, the people that have gone through there, like Mario and the other people that are featured in this book, have contributed so much to both sides of the border and beyond. You know, we find students that are all over the country that have done tremendous works. And especially because when we think about it, these are students that started with no English whatsoever. When they came here, they did not speak English. And in the last few years, especially during my tenure, we have concentrated very heavily on making sure that every student is prepared for college. And consequently, right now, we are sending 98% of our students to college. And that's just amazing, especially, you know, when so many in the country are leaving before even finishing high school.
Yeah.
Do a lot go to UTEP? Do a lot of your students go to UTEP?
Yes. We have a large number that go to UTEP, to the community college. And some of them go back to Mexico and go to the Universidad de Juarez, which is okay, you know, as long as they continue their education. But a lot of them also go to private schools of the United Methodist Church. And those that go to those schools go on a full scholarship, tuition, room, and board. But we have built this strong relationship between those sister institutions so that they can continue the ministry at the school by providing opportunities for our students. So work is just amazing.
Jackson, this is Adair. If I can just, I would like to say one other thing about this book. Just as John Houser said about Tom Lee's 12 Travelers, he said it is a trowel full of El Paso history.
A trowel.
Like if you're out gardening, you get a trowel and you dig up a trowel full.
Okay.
I mean, and really, it is the beginning, and that's what John Houser was trying to do with Tom's 12 Travelers, is to add to it. And so this book is a trowel full of Lydia Patterson history. And my hope, and in dividing it the way I have, you know, the teacher, the graduate, the student, the chaplain,
engineers,
and then the students are all divided by their categories. They were engineers or they were teachers or whatever they were. Is that there will be a website that someone will take it upon themselves to put up a website. This is a beginning, but then allow people to tell their own stories because their impact is so much greater than any of us know. It's hard to track down. A lot of the history is in Mexico. Mario helped me find some of that history that's down in Mexico now. So it's hard to track, but if we establish some kind of site where people can contribute, I just think it's going to be so much bigger.
It'd be nice.
This is just barely scratching the surface.
Well, Socorro, you do have a website, I guess, right?
Yes, our website. You can go to our website by going to lpi-elp.org, and we have a section there for alumni, for students. You know, because one of the problems is because so many of our students have come from across the border, we don't have their addresses now. So that would be, you know, that would be one way that could be very helpful to us, because we know they're there, we know what they're doing, but a lot of times we cannot contact them.
So they can get on your website and tell a story.
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay. We're going to take one more break here and come back in a minute. The idea is Lydia Patterson Institute and a very interesting piece of El Paso history, and it's always been there for 100 years. But I didn't know much about it till I got involved a few years back. And, like, there they are. So call us up. We've got one phone line open. What's that number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina.
The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the day's news without grinding you down. Twice a day, they discuss all you need to know without crushing your soul. Listen to the Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money. Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to growwealthsafely.com. That's growwealthsafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. growwealthsafely.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to tell you about our man Jim Talbert planning a new fall schedule for hikes. He is with Celebration of Our Mountains. A lot going on there. And if you want to see some history up close and personal, some of those rocks are a billion years old.
Billions.
It's a billion. That's big stuff.
Billions.
So go to Celebration of Our Mountains online or call up Diego. DiegoTalbert at gmail.com. Or 525-7364. It's a nonprofit. Everybody who's a nonprofit could use a donation or two.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Including Lydia Patterson. So
yeah,
you got another thing to read there?
Speaking of donations,
Keystone
Heritage Park is open. And, you know, you got the gardens and the wetlands, and you can walk for quite a ways and just get out and enjoy and get some fresh air. And they're open Tuesdays through Sundays, 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And we do ask you to donate $2 for adults and $1 for children when you walk in the gate. But you're on an honor system because we don't always have somebody there to help out.
Well, it's not just an open basket you put money in.
It's Iron Ranger.
Not that kind of honor system.
It's marked pretty clearly. Right there, just tuck your check or your cash
in
there.
You're looking at a cactus garden, a lot of it.
It's a xeriscape demonstration garden, so you can make your yards look beautiful without it being just cactus.
But it's also an archaeological site. That's what started all that.
That's why we did the gardens, is to protect that archaeological site.
And if you had too much money, you'd put up a pavilion and explain all that.
We're working on trying to get a building built. So if we know anybody that'd like to build us a building for free.
Another nonprofit that needs a donation.
Yeah, we really could use some help.
All right. So, Adair, we got this book that you've done. There was a nice article done in El Paso Inc. about this. And in here, you're quoted as saying, the school is rich in history, but its students whose stories are told are so inspiring, immigrant stories. And is that what kind of like pulled you into this?
Is that what pulled me into it?
Yeah.
The student stories?
Yeah.
Is that what you just asked me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I met so many students when I would go visit the school. And I said this in my introduction, because you would go in and you'd see Fernando Rivera, the student activities director, with this young Tarahumara girl who crossed from Juarez to go to school there. And he's showing her how to clean the front counter with a spray bottle, you know, spraying cleaner that she can wipe down. And she's laughing, having so much fun cleaning the counter. And I've said that in the book. There's this freshness this kind of doing things for the first time.
Oh, she'd never seen
one. She was using a spray bottle to clean something. And Fernando said that when he arrived at the school, there he is doing the same thing that someone did for him, Reverend Call especially. But he said when I got to that school, he'd been abandoned by his parents in Mexico and ends up in El Paso, and a cousin sent him there. But he said, I had everything I wanted in life. He said, I had friends, I had food to eat, and I was able to study. And one time, I'll end with this, but I did go with Socorro and some students from Lydia Patterson to Highland Park because there's a lot of support comes from Dallas. But there was this beautiful young girl. What was her name? Socorro, and she played the guitar. And we went to a home in Highland Park, and all those students just thought that was heaven, all that greenery and those big mansions and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But she sat there and talked about her experience, and a man in the audience from Dallas said, tell me more about yourself. He said, you are so mature. He says, you're so much more mature than my own children. And her response was so simple, but I've never forgotten it. She said, I come from so little, and people have sacrificed a great deal for me, and I want to honor that.
That's cool. Well, Socorro is quoted in the same article in El Paso Inc. as having asked you to do the book. And what did you say about that? To hear a dare say she'd take it up was a blessing. Interesting attitude there, Socorro.
Oh, well, I was just delighted. I knew she was the right person to do it because I had already known by then that she held a very special place in her heart for Lydia Patterson. I knew that she was the right person to do it.
It says in 2018, Lydia Patterson was declared a historic site by the General Commission on Archives and History of the United Methodist Church, La Lydia. Interesting.
That is correct. We had started to do that when the school turned 85 years old, and it didn't get done then, but when it was turned 100 years old, we said, you know, this needs to be done.
Through
the help of the New Mexico Conference, we were able to do that, and a plaque was put up right there at the front of the school on Florence Street 2 years ago. It's a historical site.
Interesting stuff here.
It made me feel better about being 8 years late. It was like it wasn't meant for the centennial. It was meant for this designation.
No, well, so, you got it done.
That happened then. Socorro, it made me look better.
You got it done. And that's a good thing you
everything
did.
Everything worked out.
Again, the book is available down there at the school, and you'll call them up and take a credit card and mail it to them.
Yes. Either way, you know, they can go by the school, they can call us, we can mail it to you, or you can go to our website, lpi-elp.org, and place your order.
Mario, we're about done here. Any last thoughts from you?
Well, you know, just thanking you, you know, for the invitation. And,
sure.
You know, it is a wonderful school that is providing a lot of human resource to the border and to the world, and it's a wonderful school, and I just, you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to be there and learn the language there, because I started learning English when I was 11. That was the reason why my parents, you know, sent me to Lydia Patterson, and it ended up being a richer experience than just learning the language. It was learning a culture and, you know, incrementing the size of the world.
Mario?
It's a great experience.
Mario Sanchez, thank you for calling long distance from Juarez. Appreciate that.
Long distance from Juarez.
Well, it has to go
deep
places.
Deep river right
it
there.
It has to go places to get here. Adair, thanks so much for arranging all this stuff here. And Socorro, good to talk to you again. Good luck with the future of the Lydia Patterson Institute. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jackson.
Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Take her easy. Next week, we're going to come back and do this again about the Pueblo Revolt. What a history that is.
Revolting.
We'll see. And oh, thank you to Andrew J. Polk.
Oh, yes.
In the control room.
Yes.
Catch his show next Saturday morning.
The Brainiac.
9 to 10, Talk El Paso. See y'all next week.
Bye.
See you at Pepe's today. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.